Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We are joined here for the next 15 minutes or so, and then sliding on to the next hour with Charles Robinson, who called me earlier to let me know what was going on in the world. He's a reporter for Maryland Public Television, been there for many years, also regional director for the National Association of Black Journalists. And Charles, welcome. Good to have you with us, my friend.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Mark. It's been a very interesting day, you know.
Yeah.
It started off where we heard rumors that, you know, Dr. Nancy Grasmick, who was head of the Maryland State Schools, had either resigned or was asked to leave. The bottom line was she decided it was time for her to retire. This is a woman who has literally been at the forefront of education in the state of Maryland, and literally the country, for the last 20 years. You know, you and I were talking on the phone. We couldn't remember who was before Nancy Grasmick,
but I have
the answer to that trivia question. It was Joseph Schilling from 1989 to 91. And what is very interesting, most people probably don't know this, Mark, but she comes in the Schaefer administration.
Right.
And you've been a follower of Maryland politics just like I have. And The irony is that education in Maryland was not highly thought of. There were pockets of excellence across the state, you know, some in Baltimore County, the Montgomery County School District, pockets down in Prince George's County, and of course on the Eastern Shore, as well as in Western Maryland. She moved education from what I would suggest is off the back burner onto the front page. And what she also did was she not only made the argument for it, but she made the argument for putting money into it. Up until that point, a lot of folks had been talking about education, but never wanting to put money up against it. We had come up with this idea of what was called Thornton. You know, a lot of folks say, well, who is Thornton? Well, we're talking about Dr. Alvin Thornton. And he did research and said that there was a problem with funding of education across the state. And he put some mechanisms in place. A lot of people say, well, he didn't put a funding mechanism in place. But what he did do, through his commission, was to put in place this idea. If we put some money and some accountability to the process, we can get some results. But, you know, Schaefer, who had that do-it-now theory that a lot of people now say, well, yeah, that was a good idea, he said, but I need to have some concrete answers as to whether or not it's working. And that's when Grasmick puts in place probably the quintessential idea. For those of us old enough to remember being a part of the Baltimore public school system, I remember something called the Iowa Basic Skills
Test. Yes, I remember those well.
And we took those tests, and I kept going, why are we taking a test from out of Iowa? Grasmick came in and said, no, we need a Maryland assessment. And that becomes what we now know as the MSAs, the Maryland Scholastic Achievement Test. A lot of people were resistant to that idea. But guess what? Over time, that resistance subsided. And when the results started coming back, I think what we began to see was that there were places where there were problems. And the question was, how were you going to deal with those problems? And Grasmick began to talk about this concept of, we're going to put you under a microscope. And in that microscope, there were some failing schools. And the question was, well, why are schools failing? And many questions began to center around about early childhood education. You know, we've had early childhood education across this country for a long time, but she put a microscope underneath of it as to why it's not happening and began to change the system. And look at us now. We've been rated for the last 2 years as the number one school system in the country.
Right.
What a way to walk off a stage.
And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, we don't really know why she's retiring. I mean, exactly.
Well, let me tell you what she said at
this
afternoon's press conference. She said she was ambivalent about retiring. This is a woman who puts in about almost 300 miles a day visiting places.
Across the state.
Across the state. She said that she wanted to take a vacation. She hasn't had one. I think another part of it probably was the health of her husband, who recently had a knee operation, and he's convalescing at home, and he's getting better. I got to believe in the back of her head, she had to say, look, you know what? I've done all I could, and I've done pretty well. Let me walk off at a time when I'm on top as opposed to, you know, having someone criticize me. You go back to, I guess, about a year and a half ago, well, when O'Malley first took office, and there was a question about whether Grassmick would stay. You remember those conversations.
Well, that was in 2007, and it was not just O'Malley, but Miller and Bush.
A number of people.
Trying to push her to step down, and she said no, and the board that was appointed by Ehrlich backed her, and she stayed.
Right, and the irony is that the governor does not appoint the superintendent of schools. That person is appointed by the Maryland State School Board. And a lot of people don't realize that she had already won millions of friends. I mean, think about it. She had served as a Democratic superintendent under a Democratic governor. She's also served as a superintendent under a Republican governor. So, you know, she had friends on all sides of the aisles in this. And the irony here is that what do you do for an encore? I don't know what you do.
I mean, it's an interesting place that she walks away from. I mean, she faced a lot of controversy over her in her tenure, especially with the takeover of certain Baltimore City schools.
Mm-hmm. She actually brokers that agreement, because remember, it was a lawsuit, a major.
There was a lawsuit,
but, a federal right. lawsuit, and you know there was really no meeting of the minds. And she came up with this concept of this partnership between the state, the city, and the Department of Education. That was unheard of, because we all knew that the city of Baltimore was shortchanged on educational funds. But the question was, if you gave them funds, could you get accountability?
Right.
And that was her idea. We're going to give. Remember the argument was that, well, I remember legislators from across this state did not want to give Baltimore any more money. In fact, said it was a cesspool.
Right. But there were a lot of arguments back then over the efficacy of a state taking over city schools. A lot of racial issues around that. There were all kinds of other things that blew up, and she pulled it and pushed it through. I mean, she was, and one of the things she was, what people agreed or disagreed with everything she did, she was tough as nails.
I used to joke that she could twist arms. Some people suggested she broke arms, because to get some of the things she had to get through, including this session, where there is a move afoot to get rid of, about, what is it, $30 million worth of educational
right,
money.
Right, right.
And guess what? She is down there still fighting. You know, I know a lot of folks in Baltimore City are concerned because they took a sizable chunk of money from Baltimore City. But heck, they're doing the same thing down in Prince George's County and all the school systems. And she's still down there fighting that fight. You know, when one of the things I thought was very interesting, she was asked, what are some of your disappointments? Because, you know, I think you can rattle off, you know, a laundry list of things that she's done. One of the things she said, she was disappointed at the dropout rate and the reasons why people dropped out. She also said she felt as though teachers still weren't getting paid enough. You know, in the current environment that we're in, where, you know, there seem to be a lot of attacks against unionization, as well as folks who work in the, if you will, the public sector, she still believes that teachers are underpaid.
Right.
The other part was she said she was very disappointed at what technology has done as far as cyberbullying. And she, one of the things she made a point of, that she did not understand, and I have a problem with this also, that kids would rather text each other than talk to each other.
Well, it might be our age.
It is our age. But I mean, having a conversation with someone who's literally across a room from you seemed to be a logical move, but I've seen more young people would much rather text each other.
Do we know who's going to take over when she steps down?
No, we don't. And I'm going to
even temporarily.
Yes, we don't have a name yet, but she'll stay until the 30th. And think about what that person has to bring to the table. I had a chance to talk to Republican Senator Nancy Jacobs, and she was miffed about this whole concept that, you know, who do we get to replace Nancy Grassmick? I mean, think about the challenge that you would have. And she says that she would like for someone to come in and continue what she did. But this woman was a dynamo, you know. I mean, you know, I don't want to equate her in the same legacy of a Schaefer, but you almost have to when you think about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, her longevity especially.
Right.
And what she accomplished in those 20 years. I mean, it's been amazing. I mean, there are some issues back and forth about certain things that happened in her tenure. And there were a lot of debates that took place in the show over the last 18 years with Nancy Grasmick about the state education's approach to education. But that, all those notwithstanding, mm-hmm. what she did was remarkable. The Maryland State Schools, public schools, are number one in the nation for 2 years in a row. She fought to and didn't always agree with how she was doing in Baltimore City Schools, but she helped Baltimore City Schools become much better. She and Alonzo were partners together in making that happen. Mm-hmm. And it's just changed the face of education in the state. I mean, she's made an indelible mark on the future of these kids in the state, without a doubt.
The other thing is that...
And very quickly, Charles, we have to go to break here.
All right, go ahead.
We'll be right back. We have to take a very break. Charles Robinson is with us. We're about to hear from Liz Bowie, the Baltimore Sun reporter, for a bit on the resignation of Nancy Grasmick. And then we will leap into a conversation about redistricting and the future of Baltimore City and politics with three very interesting and very different guests. And as we go to break, let me remind you that I'll remind you about that when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
March is Women's History Month, and WEAA celebrates them at home and abroad.
Althea Gibson was born in South Carolina on August 25th, 1927. At age 10, she picked up a tennis racket for the first time. In 1944 and 1945, Gibson won the ATA National Junior Championships. In 1950, the USLTA finally allowed Gibson to play. In 1956, she won the French Open in both singles and doubles. In 1957 and 58, she won both the Wimbledon and the U.S. National Singles titles, becoming the first African-American to win a Wimbledon singles title. Gibson was elected into the International Tennis Hall of Fame in 1971. Althea Gibson is the first African-American to compete in national and international tennis. I am Tamara Griffin, an undergraduate student at Morgan State University, sharing this moment as WEAA celebrates Trailblazers and women's history.
Morgan State University Public Radio, 88.9 FM, member-supported, community-approved, WEAA, Baltimore.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. We're going to continue our talk about Nancy Grasmick for the first few minutes after the top of the hour here. And then we have three very interesting guests, all very different ideas about this redistricting that the mayor's plan was put through last week. But what it means for the future of city and the future of politics in Baltimore City is what we're going to talk about. But first, we're going to turn this over to WEAA traffic, check on the roads, and we'll be right back. So stay with us. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland's Inflammatory Bowel Disease Program, a multidisciplinary care service dedicated to relieving symptoms and improving the quality of life of IBD patients. For more information, the number is 1-800-492-5538, or you can just log on to steinershow.org and click on the University of Maryland's Medical Center's banner, and all the information will be there as well. We continue for the next few minutes our conversation about Nancy Grasmick resigning, which took, I think, everybody by surprise, most everybody, I would imagine. Charles Robinson remains with us for a bit, reporter from Maryland Public Television, regional director of the National Association of Black Journalists, and Liz Bowie, Baltimore Sun education reporter, who's been covering our state education system for how long, Liz?
About a decade.
It's been a while, I know. So, Liz, let me go to you and talk a bit about if you were shocked by this and what the significance of this resignation means to you, who have been covering this for so long.
I think it was a surprise. I don't think anyone in the department expected it to come at this time. She has about a year and a half left on her contract, and I think that most people believed that in sometime in the next year she might announce that she would retire at the end of that contract. But I don't think they expected it to come right now. I think that she had decided that she couldn't stop working 14 hours a day and do the job that she wanted to do, and that she was leaving at a time when things were going very, very well, and that it was probably a good time to step down.
So tell me what you think, if you could, in terms of what you've covered, and the controversies you've covered over the last, 20 years that she's been, just about 20 years that she's been...
Yes, 20 years.
20 years. And clearly transformed the system and has been... tough in taking on both politicians and local school systems across the state with her ideas about how things should be run, and not backing away when the governor and the present governor and the speaker and the president of the Senate wanted her to leave office after Bob Ehrlich was defeated. And she was asked to be his lieutenant governor candidate, which she turned down. So I'm curious, when you think about what legacy she leaves, what are the most important aspects of that to you?
I think she was hired in 1991 to sort of usher in an era of accountability in the student in Maryland, and she really has done that. She, you know, decided to institute testing on a scale that had never been done before in the state, and sort of led the way in the country. I mean, there were other states, including Texas, that preceded Maryland in doing comprehensive testing, but Maryland was one of the first, long before No Child Left Behind started. She also, I think, is generally perceived to be a reform-minded superintendent in terms of trying new ideas and sticking by her decisions. I think that the tough roads for her were when she tried to suggest that several failing schools should be taken over by the state.
Right.
And she met a lot of resistance, and that was one battle she definitely lost. Although right now there are various similar things going on.
And she also took on unions. She and unions have been loggerheads a lot over the last 20 years.
Actually, I don't think that she has stood up to the unions that much until the last year or two. I think she's gone along with the unions to a varying degree.
So I wonder, both of you right now, just for a moment, just to kind of a positive bit about what you think comes next. What do you think that the school board and Martin O'Malley will be looking for in the next superintendent, and how will that be different than what we've had for the last 20 years? Charles, and then Liz.
I think they're looking for an innovator. I mean, basically, what Dr. Grasmick has done is she basically flipped the school system upside down and said, let's look underneath and see what's there. The biggest challenge for the next superintendent is going to be about money, because that's a big driver of the state budget. And Grasmick just had a force that would make them rethink things, just as they are right now in the middle of this idea that we're going to find some additional funding by either closing some loopholes, adding fees or taxes. So I think that becomes a bigger challenge. The other bigger challenge is that we have a number of superintendents across this state who are leaving at a time, you know, as the system is really at the top of its game. I think about the superintendent down in Montgomery County. That superintendent is a very important cog in the wheel that Nancy Grasmick created. You talk about Dr. Harrison in Baltimore County, same thing. Dr. Alonzo, who's been wooed by, as we hear in reports, from Chicago. So the question is, how do you keep this group of educational intellectuals engaged and challenged as you move ahead?
Liz Bowie?
I think that the greatest challenge ahead is to find someone who can be as good a politician as Dr. Grasmick has been. She's really been effective in getting along with the legislature, different superintendents, and in getting consensus. I think that there are also some very difficult issues ahead, including teacher evaluations and some of the challenges that are faced in doing the race, in meeting the race to the top goals. They're really stickly prickly issues.
Mm-hmm.
That won't go away, which may be one of the reasons she said, you know, I'm not sure I want to fight all of those battles in the next 2 years. So I think that those tensions with the unions are only going to grow in the next year, and there will be major battles. And I think the state, you know, I suspect that the school board will be looking for somebody who's very good at collaboration.
Mark, can I add one other little thing to that? And that is that this state has now one of the most diverse school children across the state, from everything from...
Across the country, you mean?
Across the country. If you think about it, you know, you look down at Prince George's County, and there's every ethnic group represented there with challenges. You can, and that's only going to grow. That's not going to decrease.
Well, I think this will be really interesting where this goes, and I look forward to having both your thoughts on the air with us as we see how this unfolds and where schools go towards the end of the school year and where it takes off. We also have all kinds of rumors that could be absolutely untrue about Alonzo being considered in other school systems around the country. There are a lot of changes going on just at a time when things are really on the move and kind of changing. We'll see what all that means. Liz Bowie, thanks for all the great reporting you do. And thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us today.
Sure, thank you.
My pleasure to have you here. And Charles Robinson, always good to hear you. And thank you so much for joining us today. And congratulations on all the moves you're making with the National Association of Black Journalists.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Mark.
All right, take care, Charles.
Bye.
We are about to start a new conversation here on the Mark Steiner Show. We have guests waiting to come into the studio. We are going to talk about this redistricting plan that took place. What it means for the future of the city. So get ready to make these calls. Very interesting. Assortment of guests coming right up.